This morning, God's Word comes to us from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Luke 24, and we'll be reading the first 12 verses of this chapter. Luke 24, beginning at verse 1. What we hear now is God's Word. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, this morning is Easter Sunday. It is the day of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Easter Sunday is the pinnacle of the believer's year. It is the resurrection of Christ that gives significance to all the other events of his life. It is the resurrection that gives significance to the incarnation. He came and was born and would live his life and would die, but would be raised again. It is the resurrection that gives significance to the Epiphany, Christ's unveiling of himself, as he reveals himself as the Lord of all the life, and a life which would not be taken from him, but he would rise again. It is the resurrection that will give significance to the events that will follow, the events of the ascension. Christ would rise from earth to heaven because he had risen from the grave to the earth once again to live as king. It is the resurrection that gives meaning to Pentecost. It is the living Christ, the ruling Christ, the reigning Christ who sends forth his Spirit, a Spirit of life into our hearts. The resurrection is the pinnacle of the Christian celebration of the life of Christ. We look this morning at Luke chapter 24, an old story, a familiar story, a story that many of us have heard from the time we were children. But the truths in this story are timeless for us. They are of eternal significance for us. And so it's good for us once again to remind ourselves of what took place on that first Easter morning, as it encourages us, as it strengthens us in our own faith. We read first about the devotion of the women. Now perhaps we should have begun our reading back at the end of chapter 23. In verse 54 it says, "It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared." The women come to anoint the body of Christ out of devotion, out of respect for him. And they demonstrate this devotion at the first possible opportunity. In the Old Testament times and in this climate, anointing the body was very significant. It had to be done right away. But Jesus' body was taken down from the cross as the Sabbath was beginning. The Sabbath began in the evening. So the women couldn't anoint it then. They couldn't anoint it on the Sabbath, for they rested according to the command of God. And to go on the evening after the Sabbath with the darkness made no sense to try to do the work then. But the very first light, the very first opportunity, early at dawn, they went to the tomb to express their devotion and to anoint the body of Jesus. And while we can appreciate the devotion of the women, while we can appreciate the intent of their actions, we have to say also that their actions betrayed an unbelief. They went to anoint a dead body. That was their intention. Their intentions were good. Their intentions were honorable. They wanted to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. But their acts betray that they fully expected to find that dead body lying in the tomb yet. It was a devotion, but a misplaced devotion. A devotion that would need to be redirected toward the living God. They came, and on that first Easter morning, they were surprised. Verse 2, and they found the stone rolled away and the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of their Lord. They went expecting to find a dead body, and He was not there. They went expecting to anoint the dead, but there was no one there to be anointed. What they expected to find, they did not find. What they did not expect, they did find. An empty tomb. No body to anoint. And beyond that, while they were puzzling and perplexing about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel, and they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. They went to anoint the dead, but they are confronted by two living beings. Beings we know are angels. Brilliant, glorious, dazzling, the text says. And in their amazement, in their surprise, in their fright, they fall down before these men. Easter morning was a surprise for the women. They went devoted to care for their Lord and Savior, but were surprised by what they found. An empty tomb and life by the grave. Two men, brilliant and dazzling. And this devotion of the women would be redirected through the words that these men, that these angels, would speak to them. The message of the angels begins with questioning the women. Verse 5, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" Why do you seek the living among the dead? They would be reminded that Jesus said He would rise from the grave. If the women, with sincere hearts, with true devotion, went looking for death, they went looking to anoint the dead. And the angels redirect that devotion with this question, why do you seek the living among the dead? It is that same question that we wrestle with today when we look for significance in our lives. We want to find life. We want to find the living. We want to find the way of peace and happiness and joy. And yet so often the place that we look for those things is like looking in a tomb and looking to the dead. We try to find a way to understand life around us, to put things together. And yet, rather than going to the Scriptures, the Word of God, and being instructed by Him, we construct humanistic philosophies where man is the measure of all things. And we look for meaning in that type of system. That is like looking for the living, for the meaning of life among the dead. Man, fallen, sinful, but the dust of the earth. Why look for the living among the dead? Why turn to humanistic philosophies where man is the center of all things? Or the twin sister of that, self-esteem psychology. When the most important thing in life is that you feel good about yourself. And everything around your life revolves around making you feel good. To try to find some meaning in life. But that is to look for the living among the dead. These man-made systems will never give the true meaning we are looking for. Perhaps we don't look inward for the meaning of life. We look all around us. We look to a New Age religion where we don't know a real, existing, objective God, but we see God everywhere. God is all part of the rocks and the trees and the flowers, and He's part of the concrete and He's part of the building. God's part of everything. That is no God. To look for a God like that is to look for the living among the dead. That type of devotion must be redirected back towards God. Maybe we say, you know what? I just think we can't know for sure about whether God exists. We become agnostic, not knowing for sure with regard to the existence of God. And that becomes our faith. That is death. If we are devoted towards seeking after the way of life, if we are devoted to finding the way of truth and meaning, then don't look for the living among the dead. But look to God and to His Word to be instructed, to be taught the truth of where real meaning in life comes from. They begin with this question, why do you seek the living among the dead? And then they declare very clearly, He is not here, but has risen. That declaration. He is not here, but has risen. The angels tell them plainly, you're looking for the dead. He's not here. He's risen. He's the living one. And it is that truth that we still celebrate today. It is that truth which still warms the heart of the believer. That Christ did not remain in the tomb, but He has risen from the dead. And in Christ's resurrection, we see all those blessings that overflow to us. Our sin was placed upon Him and put in the ground, but He did not remain. The sin remained. He came back to new life. And we are given that same new life. Our sins buried with Christ. Our new life risen with Him. We have the joy of the resurrection, knowing that the grave is not the end for us. But as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, Christ the first fruits, then all who follow behind Him. Christ's resurrection is a picture, is a reminder, is an assurance of our own resurrection. The grave is not the end for the believer. Christ came from the grave. He is not here. He has risen. The angels ask a question. The angels make a declaration. And then the angels give them a reminder. He is not here. He has risen. Remember how He told you while He was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise. Remember what He taught. Remember what He told you. And Jesus had told them again and again and again. Oh, sometimes in picturesque language, sometimes in language that simply made allusions to his resurrection, but at least three times very, very clearly speaks about rising on the third day. Jesus had taught them. Jesus had instructed them. And the angel said, now remember. Remember what he told you. Remember the significance of his words that he would rise on the third day. They needed a reminder. A reminder of the words of Jesus. Are we so different from those women? It is so easy for us to forget the significance of what Jesus has taught. It is easy for us in the busyness of our lives to forget that he was raised from the dead and that he spoke about it. He told them plainly that he would rise again. They needed a reminder. And that's why we gather Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, to be reminded from the Word of God about the work of Jesus. That's why it's important for us to be here. That Lord's Day after Lord's Day, we are reminded again of the words of Christ. We are reminded again of the words of God, that he would rise from the dead. And that the glorious message of that resurrection continues to live with us week after week, from Sunday to Sunday. That's why it's important. It's important to come and celebrate the resurrection every Lord's Day. The resurrection is not just for Easter. It is not just for special times of the year. But the truth of the resurrection and that reminder should be an ongoing part of our walk with God. As Sunday after Sunday, we anticipate coming together and being brought to the empty tomb. He is not here. He has risen. The angels ask them a question. The angels make a declaration. They give them a reminder. And then there is recognition on the part of the women. Verse 8, and they remembered his words. Now it made sense. Now it sunk in. They perhaps had thought when he spoke of rising again, he was talking about the final resurrection. The Jews had an expectation for a final resurrection. But now they realize what he meant, what he was talking about. He was talking about his resurrection on the third day, and it's as if the pieces began to fall together. And it all began to make sense. They began to understand who he was and what he came to do. He was the one who would come and be delivered up on the cross, but would rise again. They remembered. They recognized what was taking place. Is this the Christ that you come to worship today? The one who is not simply a good teacher, a fine example, even a great prophet, but a recognition that he is who he said he was. They remembered his words. They remembered that he promised he would rise again. Do you come and gather on this Easter morning simply because it is custom or habit or tradition? Or do you come because he is not in the tomb anymore, he has risen, and he calls forth your devotion? And that recognition that his words were true then shapes everything that we do, shapes everything that we are. It is the resurrection that sets Jesus Christ apart from every other religious leader. There are other religious leaders who were good teachers. There were other religious leaders who were fine examples. There were other religious leaders who were great prophets. But none of them rose from the grave. Only Jesus Christ. That is what sets Christianity apart from every false religion. We serve not someone still in the tomb, not a dead leader. We serve a risen Savior. He is not here. He has risen. Is this that Savior that you have come to worship this morning? Not someone who still lies in the ground somewhere in Palestine, but one who rules and reigns even now from heaven. The women remembered the words. And remembering, they now having their devotion transferred toward a living Christ, now go and tell others. Verse 9, and they returned from the tomb. They told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Their devotion manifested itself now in telling others the truth that they knew. But once again, we're surprised at the Easter morning story. We're surprised at the response from the apostles. They too had heard the teaching. They too had been with Jesus. Verse 11, these women told these things to the apostles, but these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. The apostles didn't believe. They had heard the words of Jesus. They now had the testimony of the women. But they were thinking of these things from a worldly point of view. From a worldly point of view, the resurrection makes no sense. Dead bodies don't rise. They heard this story as if it was an idle tale. Simply a story told by the women of the day. And when we think of the resurrection from a worldly point of view, it is an interesting story, it is perhaps an exciting story, but only a story. An idle tale that is perhaps the center of devotion for a few small followers. The disciples didn't believe. And still today, there are many who on this Easter morning will recognize something significant is going on. They may even recognize Easter has to do with Christ. But they will look at the resurrection from a worldly point of view and say, it's but an idle tale. It's only a story. And they will not believe. Even Peter. Peter, who was the rock. Peter, who was one of the inner three of Jesus' teaching circle. Verse 12. Peter rose, ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. The text uses the word marveling at what had happened, and that gives us the impression that he was overwhelmed by what he saw. But the intent of that word is not so much marveling in belief, but wondering in disbelief. Even Peter, who hears the tale, goes and looks for evidence. He's heard the story, and when he goes, he finds the evidence. He finds the empty tomb. He finds the linen cloths. But still, he goes and wonders. Could it really be true? The evidence was simply not enough to convince him, even confronted with the things he was looking for. No, it would be a faith that hears and a faith that believes that receives the risen Savior. The women saw the same evidence. And they heard the message and they believed it. Their devotion was turned toward the risen Christ and their faith embraced Him. And they celebrated on that Easter morning. And they went and told others. The disciples from a worldly point of view say it's only an idle tale. And even Peter, who goes and finds the evidence, still wonders if it could possibly be true. No, the evidence was not enough to convince. It would take faith in the message from the Word of God Himself. The angels came and spoke from God. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. The same is true today. If you've come this morning looking for evidence of the resurrection, we could go to an empty tomb. We could perhaps even find some old linen shrouds. But as long as we look for evidence without faith, we will never come face to face with Christ who has risen. All the evidence we need comes from the Word of God Himself. God's Word, God's faithfulness, God's truth comes to you today and says, He is not here, He is risen, just as He said. Is that the Christ you put your faith in? Don't keep wondering, don't keep thinking, don't keep looking for more evidence. All you need is the Word of God, a Word that tells us that the tomb was empty. He was not there. He rose from the dead, and as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, and He appeared to many. That faithful Word declares the truth that Jesus Christ is alive and has been raised from the dead. It's Easter morning. Put your faith in that risen Savior. Don't think of the story from a worldly point of view. It doesn't make sense to us. It's an idle tale. Don't keep waiting and wondering and looking for more evidence. But this morning, the call of God comes to you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the risen Savior. And you will be saved. He is not in the tomb, but He has risen. Let's pray together. Lord our God, how we thank You for the faithful record of the resurrection. We thank You for recounting for us what took place on that first Easter morning. And Lord God, as we have gathered today, may that be enough for us. If we have failed to put our hope and our faith in You fully and completely, then Lord, change our hearts today, change our hearts this morning, that having heard from Your Word, Your promises and what You have done, that our faith might be strengthened, we might be drawn closer to You, and we might truly celebrate on this Easter Sunday the glories of Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. Oh, by the power of Your Spirit, O God, work and strengthen us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.